This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. This is the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And now we've got Popit Popit Parliament with all of the updates from the Dewan Rakyat.
So today is the first day of debates on the 12th Malaysia Plan. Before we go into that, because there's quite a lot of it, we're taking a look at several other issues that were raised. Firstly, a follow-up to what we discussed yesterday on the show, actually, about senior citizens and driving. Now, this came after Bukit Aman suggested that drivers aged above 70 should be screened before they get their licenses renewed.
So this issue was brought up in the Dewan Rakyat, and Transport Minister Datuk Sri Wee Kar Siong emphasised that there were no plans to implement this. Here's the minister.
MOT tidak pernah bagi arahan untuk mensyaratkan warga emas melebihi 70 tahun untuk mengembalikan lesen. Tak pernah. Kerana kompetensi berlainan macam Yang Berhormat Langkawi, beliau dapat memandu dengan baik. Jauh lebih baik daripada orang yang gila-gila bawa jalan, bawa kereta di atas jari. Ini tidak boleh ada diskriminasi bagi mereka yang umur 70 tahun. Jadi sebab itulah saya kata ini bukan pendirian MOT. Dan kita tak berhajat pun tukar kerana kompetensi itu bukan berdasar kepada faktor umur. Dan kita juga lihat banyak sebab yang menyebabkan kemalangan ini berlaku. Terima kasih.
Separately, the minister also provided some statistics about road accidents, saying that 80% are caused by human factors, 13% because of a faulty vehicle, and 7% because of surrounding environment.
I know the comment about the gila-gila drivers, so I really feel like now when I'm driving out more, I feel like I'm seeing this on the road. So that part resonated with me.
I actually think that a lot of us have forgotten how to drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is something that I think for those of us returning to work or who've been driving the whole time and have therefore been able to observe how peaceful the roads were and how unpeaceful it is now, it's quite clear.
Next up, another issue that's been discussed a lot lately, which is that 51% Bumiputra equity ownership ruling for freight forwarders. So Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul Aziz began his response by saying that this isn't a new issue. He added that the exemption to meet the ruling has been extended twice, once to December 31st this year and now to December 2022.
So Seremban MP Anthony Lok, who is of course also the former transport minister, asked if this could be reviewed, saying that it's unfair, also alleging that many of the companies are operating on an Alibaba model in the first place. But the minister then kind of just merely responded that any decision needs to take into account the views of all stakeholders. Here's Tengku Zafrul.
Isu pegangan equity Bumiputra termasuklah sebarang keputusan yang ditentukan oleh Kementerian Kewangan haruslah mengambil kira pandangan semua pihak yang berkepentingan. Perkara ini haruslah diperincikan dan dikaji dengan lebih teliti dan memerlukan kerjasama pelbagai pihak dan kementerian. Seperti yang disampaikan oleh Yang Amat Berhormat Perdana Menteri dalam pembentangan Rancangan Malaysia yang ke-12 semalam, selepas lebih 30 tahun dasar ekonomi baru diperkenalkan, pegangan equity korporat Bumiputra hanyalah 17.2%. Oleh itu, cadangan untuk memperkenalkan kerangka jaringan keselamatan equity serta penubuhan bahagian kemakmuran Bumiputra yang akan menyelaras semua inisiatif berkaitan perkara ini amatlah dialu-alukan.
So the minister also said that the Bumiputra Agenda Steering Unit, also known as the RAJU, will be looking into the matter.
Dalam mencari penyelesaian jangka panjang untuk perkara ini, kerajaan seperti saya sebut tadi telah mempertanggungjawabkan teraju untuk meneliti penyertaan Bumiputra dalam industri logistik ini dengan lebih lanjut. Hasil kajian itu nanti akan dibentangkan kepada Jemaah Menteri. Kita akan cuba melakar hala tuju pelibatan Bumiputra dalam sektor logistik serta memastikan industri ini mestilah terus berkembang.
That was Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul Aziz.
Moving on, there was a question about vaccinating prison inmates. Jelutong MP Arisan Raya asked if they would be given priority since many ongoing court trials have been postponed because of COVID-19 cases. Deputy Home Minister Dato Sri Dr. Ismail Mohamed then responded saying he's confident that the ministry would ensure all staff and inmates receive the vaccine.
Memang saya akui bahawa cumulative case COVID-19 positif yang melibatkan banduan dan juga kaki tangan serta keluarga adalah sehingga kini 51,123 orang, termasuk baby yang dilahirkan seramai 9 orang. Dan kita percaya bahawa kita yakin bahawa Kementerian Dalam Negeri sentiasa memastikan semua anggota dan juga klien kita yang berada di dalam penjara akan menerima suntikan vaksin. Dan kita akan buat secara berkala dan memastikan supaya tindakan terus dapat dilakukan. Terima kasih Yang Berhormat.
That was Deputy Home Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Ismail Mohamed. So he mentioned that among the prison inmates and staff, more than 51,000 individuals, including 9 babies, have tested positive since last year. Now, here's the thing, right? We've been talking about prison clusters for what seems like almost the very beginning of this pandemic. And the question remains why prisoners haven't been prioritized yet for vaccines, given that we know that this is a recurring problem.
Yes, and also, and I think that this is a recurring theme in and of itself with the pandemic, where something that is increasingly a problem because of COVID-19 actually highlights existing issues, right? Because when it comes to prison overcrowding, when it comes to the fact that we also know that people are sometimes put in jail for, I mean, we need to look at sentencing, right? To put it simply, for crimes, for petty crimes, things like that. So I think that the vaccine is an important step, especially in the immediate context, but also long term, we need to look at how it is that we're thinking about prison occupancy, especially because you also have the Home Ministry talking about wanting to use vaccination information or MySejahtera information to round up people that they consider people who shouldn't be here, to put it simply. So, yeah, I think that there are larger questions actually to be raised about prison occupancy.
Yes, and I completely agree. I think that saying we look into it, we're confident that they'll ensure this, all well and good, but I think 51,000 is a very high number. I think perhaps more needs to be done and more needs to be shown to know that this is being taken seriously.
Yeah, because when you say you're confident, you're the people who are actually going to put it in place. So I think hearing a bit more about how exactly that's going to happen would go a long way. Now, on to the debates for the 12th Malaysia Plan. Now, when we talked about it yesterday, we did say that it was just tabled. The debates, I think, are really where it's at. So the first person to talk about this was opposition leader Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim, and a number of points were raised. We're going to get to him shortly, but just to set the stage, there was a remark by Teluk Intan MP Ngah Kor Ming, who noted that only 5 out of 69 ministers and deputy ministers were present today, and are present in the hall at least. And he said that they should have attended the session to listen to the opposition leaders' debate, given the importance of the matter, and added that this should be part of our parliamentary reforms. Here he is.
Bolehkah kita tetapkan sekurang-kurangnya timbalan menteri dan menteri hadir untuk dengar perbahasan ketua pembangkang sebagai sebahagian daripada transformasi parlimen? Dan ini merupakan satu kod etika yang cukup asas tetapi tidak dipatuhi. Saya berasa sedih pagi ini apabila ketua pembangkang berucap hanya 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 orang menteri dan timbalan menteri. Mana yang lain 60 orang? Ini persoalan yang perlu dijawab sebagai satu amalan demokrasi yang menghormati sistem raja berperlembagaan, demokrasi berparlimen.
So before the opposition leader continued, he agreed with it, saying that he used to listen to Lim Kit Siang's speeches in their entirety. He added, however, that those ministers perhaps were tuning in remotely, although that was different from being present in person. We'd be curious to know, what do you make of this suggestion from Ngah Kor Ming that essentially for something as important as this debate, that more of the ministers, perhaps all of the ministers, should have been present, physically present in the hall in order to take questions, respond and the like? You can call 7733-2900 with your thoughts. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Now, the points themselves, right? Particularly the ones raised during Anwar's speech. He began by quoting T.S. Eliot, and that quote was, "Between the idea and the reality, between the motion and the act, falls the shadow." And he referenced this specifically to highlight that while the 12th Malaysia Plan paints an optimistic picture, that the implementation may not really be as simple because of current economic factors, like the fact that we still have high rates of unemployment, bankruptcy, compounded by people having low savings.
And in relation to all this, he also alleged that billions had gone into the drafting of the 12th Malaysia Plan, and that was done by foreign consultants. And he asked why local experts weren't hired for this, given that they would have a better understanding of the Malaysian context.
Menteri Ekonomi tahu kita boleh kumpulkan laporan Davos, laporan Bank Dunia dan kita boleh belanja bilion ringgit untuk consultants. Saya difahamkan 5 tahun dulu sudah belanja 1.8 bilion. Jadi saya nak tanya, lebih 2 bilion ringgit diberikan kepada consultant untuk menyiapkan buku rancangan Malaysia ke-12 ini. Mungkin sebahagiannya kita boleh guna pakai, tapi saya masih yakin maklumat dan perancangan dalam negara boleh dan mampu dikendali oleh kepakaran dalam negara kerana mereka lebih faham masalah dalam negara. Siapa yang boleh faham masalah kemiskinan dan kesenjangan dalam negara Malaysia? Bukan pakar-pakar konsultan luar.
So I think that's an interesting point that Anwar brings up, right? Why were foreign consultants used, and particularly the putting a dollar amount on what that expertise costs, does paint a picture in terms of not necessarily saying we shouldn't have them, but perhaps more rationale as to why would be quite welcome. I'd be interested to know, because frankly, this isn't something I thought about very much until I heard him talk about it. Later in his speech, there was some focus on the Bumiputra initiatives laid out in the plan. He said that more focus should be placed on improving the lives of those in need instead of things like Bumiputra quotas. Here's a clip from that.
Daripada kita nak perkotak-katikkan balik-balik soal kota Bumiputra dan sebagainya, saya bagi satu laluan. Kerana orang anggap kita ini tidak setuju dengan dasar Bumiputra. Apa salahnya kalau kita tumpukan latihan, pemutu pendidikan, mutu kesihatan awam kepada golongan miskin, desa dan bandar yang majoritinya Bumiputra, orang Melayu dan Bumiputra Sabah dan Sarawak. Tetapi tidak umpamanya kerana ditekankan soal kedudukan JLC, soal kontrak, soal nak dapatkan dahirkan ramai bilioner. Kita tak peduli. Ini yang ramai ini berjuta-juta Bumiputra ini yang harus diberikan perhatian. Kalau perlu, tangguhkan projek-projek besar. Tangguh projek lapan tengah terbang. Tangguh projek ECRL dan treaty semula. MRT3. Apa faedah kita nak teruskan dalam keadaan orang kelaparan, menganggur, tak cukup makan, tak cukup mutu pendidikan ada sekarang? Sebelum next.
MUA MP Syed Saddiq then stood up to agree, expressing doubts that policies like the 51% Bumiputra equity rule for freight forwarders would help, you know, ordinary people. Here's some of what he said.
Bagaimana dasar ini akan membantu petani di Alostar atau Jelon? Bagaimana ia akan membantu peniaga-peniaga kecil di MUA? Realitinya, kalau kita lihat dasar ini, ia populis tetapi tidak sama sekali membantu golongan Melayu yang susah. Yang kedua kerisauan saya, jikalau kita bincangkan isu GLC, agensi, jual harta dan equity, ini hanya akan membantu kroni dan golongan elit. Kita lihat Perikatan Nasional dan diteruskan oleh kerajaan ini, lantikan-lantikan politik dalam GLC dan JLIC. Dan yang terakhir, kerisauan saya, mana keadilan untuk golongan non-Bumiputra juga? Kerana pengecualian dasar pro-Bumiputra ini diberikan kepada syarikat-syarikat asing. Semalam kita dengar ucapan Yang Amat Berhormat Perdana Menteri. Dia sendiri akui bahawa equity yang dipegang oleh non-Malaysians ia adalah 45.5%. Ya? Tetapi jalan penyelesaian ambil equity daripada non-bumi Malaysians, ya? Dan berikan kepada bumi. Where's the fairness? Kita lebih pentingkan, ya? Lebih pentingkan warga negara asing dan our very own Malaysians hanya sebab mereka tidak dilahirkan bangsa Melayu dan beragama Islam. The best way forward is capacity building. Berikan anak-anak muda yang miskin, biasiswa, kualiti pekerjaan. Bukan if this easy way out. Saya berharap bahawa Ketua Pembangkang dapat mendesak kerajaan, do not find this coward way out, kerana ia menyakiti rakyat Malaysia dan pembangunan Malaysia secara keseluruhan.
Yang di-Pertua, pendek saja.
Two very passionate clips there. That was MUA MP Syed Saddiq. Anwar then responded by saying that affirmative action has had its benefits in terms of social mobility, but it's also created downsides, cronyism, corruption and the like. So he said we need to learn from the past and find new approaches for the future to benefit everyone.
Mobility sosial berlaku kerana dasar yang memilih, memihak, membantu golongan yang lebih susah, termasuk majoriti Melayu, yang disebut affirmative action. Tetapi yang kedua ini, soal equity dan sebagainya. Kalau kita lihat dalam kenyataan yang berlaku dan sejarah, itu banyak memberikan faedah kepada beberapa syarikat keluarga dan kroni. Tak dapat dinafikan. Ya. Apakah orang yang susah, yang menganggur sekarang, termasuk majoritinya anak-anak Melayu. Jadi kita kena belajar dari pengalaman itu. Harus ada pendekatan baru, Yang Amat Menteri. Jangan kita ikut kaedah lama. Memang semua kaum harus diberikan ruang, termasuk kalau ada kegelisahan orang Melayu, kerana tidak perlu ada peluang. Tetapi apa pendekatan yang ada sekarang ini, ada dua ketimpangannya. Pertama, memberi kepada orang yang tidak punya keupayaan dan kelayakan semata-mata kerana kontak, kedudukan politik atau dukungan. Dan kedua, cara tidak sedar kita telah menolak dan menafikan hak orang lain. Saya masih ingat lagi, saya pimpinan mahasiswa masa itu, dalam dialog dengan Tun Razak, dia sebut kita akan buat apa saja yang mungkin untuk membantu orang-orang Melayu dan Bumiputera naikkan darjat mereka dalam bidang pendidikan dan perniagaan. Tapi kita tidak akan dengan cara yang demikian menghalang atau merampas hak rakyat kita yang lain.
That was opposition leader Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim talking about the Bumiputera initiatives that were introduced under the 12th Malaysia Plan. Let us know, do you have thoughts on any of these things that were discussed? We spoke about, well, a number of things really, traffic accidents, vaccination for prisoners, the Bumiputera initiatives in the 12th Malaysia Plan, but also the fact that ministers and deputy ministers, not all of them were present for the opposition leaders' speech and debate on the 12th Malaysia Plan. Share your thoughts with us. You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. That's all we have for today for Pupit Pupit Parliament. We'll be back tomorrow with more updates. So keep it here on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.